Comments made on the Blind Bargains cast are those of the individuals and do not represent AT Guys, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Blind Bargains podcast, your portal for deals, news, and resources for the blind and visually impaired.
www.blindbargains.com.
A production of AT Guys, distributors of iPhone accessories, the Quantum Barcode Scanner, and the HIMS Blaze EZ. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to the podcast for April 1st, 2015. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
And I am Joe Steinkamp.
Rather mellow today, aren't we, sir?
I know.
Yeah, you usually have some
witty bantery
quip
kind of
or
thing.
Remark yeah. or some sort of thing.
Yeah. I know, you would think that I would, but, you know, I really enjoyed what's going on with timing and it's just, you know, let's just get right into things. Hey, there is this amazing story that just recently happened. Jamie, why don't you do the setup here?
Well, you know, if you're going to have a disability summit, which they did in Australia, and you're going to have a speaker at this summit that is in a wheelchair, it would seem that maybe having the stage area wheelchair accessible would be a good idea.
Nah.
I kind of wonder who at the last minute thought, uh-oh, Houston, we got a problem, except not Houston because they're in Australia, but Sydney, maybe?
Perth, Sydney.
We've got a problem.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just that either. They had all of the tables with food on them were really high, so
yeah.
They couldn't be reached by people in wheelchairs, and facilities were actually a storage room and were full of chairs. So, you know, hey, we're going to put on this whole disability expo and not really think about who's coming. I mean,
yeah.
You know, what's funny about this is that, Ricky, you and I have actually attended an event where the women's restroom was labeled
storage. And I kind of didn't want to think about I hope they're not doing anything with that. I mean,
but kudos to the planning committee because, you know, this hit, this ticked all the boxes in all the right places to make sure that this was an accessible event place thing.
Sure. Well, I think it really highlights that we have a lot of work ahead of us. So it's good that we're having these expos and summits and things because we can, you know,
learn a lot about them. Wow.
That's
but kudos for the guy for going through with it. I mean, getting carried up on the dais and all of that. That is crazy to think that something like that would still go through. I mean, you know, I don't know. Windows is a lot like that in a way where Windows holds on to something and says, you know, branding matters to us. Xbox Live. Remember Live?
Windows Live Messenger. MSN Messenger. Windows Metro apps. Windows Universal apps.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Not so much anymore,
about
it looks like.
Windows apps. Not to be confused with Windows desktop apps.
Windows apps for desktops.
Yeah, what you said. So,
it's a Windows app, and it's always a Windows app, unless it's on a desktop. So phones, tablets, not that there's a lot of Windows phone, you have to worry about that. But phones, tablets, those are using Windows apps, unless you're on a desktop.
Yeah, but if you're
nothing
on a desktop.
Nothing confusing about that.
No, isn't that the desktop is using the same app, which is Universal.
It is the same app, but it's called Windows Apps for Desktops. Paul Thurrott went on a big deal.
Which is not the same as Windows Desktop App, which is your standard legacy app.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Microsoft, you're great at branding.
Windows Build, Microsoft Build will be April this month here in 2015. So we should get a lot more. Okay, maybe not clarity, but basically some clarification on what's going on in the world of Windows as Microsoft prepares itself for possible launch in September of Windows 10. And if you remember correctly, that's going to be a free update for those using Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1. So there'll be a big mass, well, Apple-like way of running to the latest version of the operating system, which should be very, very interesting. And they also announced tangentially that Windows Phone will actually have a new update. Windows 10 Phone will be coming out to more Windows phones that were not in the original push to the original beta that was talked about back in February.
So the 7 remaining users who don't have this update will, soon get that.
Go Pratik!
Yeah, exactly. And all the other people who bought really cheap Windows phones. That is a distinct advantage of Windows Phone, is that you can get some really, really cheap ones. I don't know that a lot of people have done that, but they are certainly available.
Well, thank heaven we can at least rely on good old Internet Explorer to stay the same, right? Because that's not going to change at all.
No, the old trusty standby browser that's been around for years, and we can just totally count on it to not change anymore. It's going to stay exactly the same as it is. It'll be there in Windows 8.1. They're not going to do updates to IE11. Instead, moving forward, Spartan, or whatever it is eventually named, is going to get all the attention.
So what's that this, Joe, about Adobe kind of contributing to Spartan? That's interesting to me.
Well, I think that's kind of helpful because if you know, Internet Explorer 11 actually has its own version of Flash. Mm-hmm. But Adobe seems to be leaning into more cloud services, and there's going to be updates to Spartan, for lack of a new name, right? And Adobe is actually lending a hand in some of the things that they want to be able to work well, like PDF documents and some of their other cloud services, which, again, they announced last week that they are doing a lot more as far as Adobe Acrobat Creator and cloud sharing services. And, I think Adobe is fighting the world of relevance. Certainly Microsoft has its own battles with that. But Adobe handing in information to make sure that things are going to work well in the browser because they recognize that the browser is the future, then, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and there it's not all about Flash and PDF. I mean, Adobe does do other stuff. And in this case, what they're contributing to the browser is like some color rendering stuff and other stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think of immediately when you thought of Adobe, although they do Illustrator and a bunch of artistic things. But yeah, in this case, they're contributing like a bunch of visual effect type things to Spartan, which is kind of neat. But they are, I have to say, making some improvements in terms of accessibility, at least when it comes to PDFs and such. So with the latest version that's going to be released soon of the PDF reader and creator, what do they call this? Acrobat DC. Yeah. Yes. So you're going to be able to accessibly read, of course, and also create PDFs on the Mac as well as Windows. And they've done a lot of other improvements. Matt May has released a blog post about that, just kind of detailing this is what we can expect in terms of accessibility with this new release. And that's good because Adobe has paid a lot of lip service to accessibility in the past, but not always been kind of right there at the cutting edge of making sure they were doing all they could. And I like that that's finally changing a bit.
You know what else is changing? The ability for the Apple TV to grow and evolve and become more than it currently is. Basically because, as we've joked for many a year, I bought one for Ricky's birthday. Mm-hmm. And therefore that means a new one has to come out. Thanks, Jamie. Set this trend.
Yep. Yeah, I did.
But it's not coming out immediately, so I have 6 months or so before the obsolescence kicks in. But yeah, there is going to be a new Apple TV, and it's going to have Siri integration probably. They're improving the hardware on the thing so that it has a little more oomph and can do some stuff that the current generation TV couldn't. There is perhaps going to be an Apple TV app store, so developers can make apps for this thing, which who knows what that's going to open the door for. I'm just really excited to actually have the ability to watch Netflix and browse things easily and check out the FX Now app for Simpsons World and easily watch the episodes of that I want to. Yeah, really loving the Apple TV, so I don't have to rush out and buy a new one immediately when it comes out, because I don't need to talk to it. I can't talk to my Xbox. That doesn't work, so don't need to talk to the Apple TV either.
Well, I have to ask, have you stumbled across any video description yet on the Apple TV?
No, none neither. Whatsoever, which is kind of disappointing. I mean, I like that the option is there, just kind of hoping to see the content. Right now, it feels like, Apple, you're teasing us. Ha ha.
Daredevil's coming around the corner. So, I mean, you know, that'll be described, right? Because it's a blind comic book character, and Netflix wouldn't let us down, would they?
I'm not entirely sure that Netflix cares
April 10th.
That much.
It's coming. Coming around the corner. But yeah, these updates feel a lot like Fire TV. Like they're really trying to catch up to Fire because there is that remote that you can talk to and be able to get things to your Fire TV. A little bit of a rumor from a couple of weeks ago was that Apple was going to make it like a streaming stick. So it was going to be like one of the Fire TV sticks or a Roku. Apple kind of started this trend. Then Chromecast came about, and then Chromecast really kind of broke things all over the place for Roku and Fire. And now it's just a very crowded market. So an update to the hardware seems like a good idea.
Yeah. And I think it was very necessary for Apple to drop the price because there are so many other cheaper options. And Apple is still the more expensive thing, but not considerably more expensive. The $99 price point just became a little ridiculous when you could buy these $20 sticks. Or, you know, if you're really going to splurge here, buy the $40 thing. So,
or a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, well, you could buy one of those. They're a bit more than $69, I think. And don't expect to play your old games on it. But you can chat with people on it if you want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it talks, sort
of. Parts of it talk. This is kind of interesting to me because what they've done is they've released a firmware update such that you can accessibly create a PlayStation party. So you can chat with your friends by text and otherwise, perhaps. But it's just that reads. So the on-screen keyboard works so that you can type in stuff to your friends and you can get their messages and have them read back to you. The text-to-speech actually sounds pretty good. We have a couple of links in the show notes where you can check that out. But it's interesting to me that I would think it would be more difficult programmatically to get the on-screen keyboard and get the successful reading back of messages and typing and, you know, echoing things. I would think that would be more difficult to do than to read stock menus like the system menu or whatever, but those don't read. So it feels to me like they've done the hardest thing first and they've left the other stuff that seemingly would be pretty easy to add. That's not accessible yet.
Strange. Given time, like you said, the social aspects of a console are very huge. The ecosystem is a big part of that, online gaming and playing. Certainly, we see that with Twitch and the rise of people streaming games and the like. And keep an eye on Liam's feed and others to see what's going on out there. There are a couple of blind individuals playing around with the PS4 and giving some updates and streams of how it's going so far. I think Liam was doing Injustice the other day, which is great because I love that game for Xbox 360. And certainly that'll kick in with Mortal Kombat X, which is about to be released for the major consoles. And that is a very received game in the blind community. It's not that it's accessible. It's just that that's one of the games that we can usually memorize menus to and be able to play. Ricky's a Mortal Kombat player.
Yes, I like Street Fighter as well. And I might post about that stuff on my Angel Fire site. Wait, I don't have an Angel Fire site, unfortunately.
Glitter font? Oh, you're going to so pull out the glitter font. Oh,
I'll do an
Alta
Vista search for that later.
Yes. Jamie, did you ever have one of these, a GeoCities site or an Angel Fire tripod, anything like that?
I did not. I remember using Alta Vista. This article, by the way, is whatever happened to some of these old Web 1.0 services. I was aware of CompuServe. In fact, I used a screen reader called Isis that its claim to fame was that it made Prodigy speak. Now, I didn't actually use Prodigy, but yeah. So that will be interesting to see if anyone has ever used Isis. I know David Andrews was familiar with it because I talked to him about it once. And as I was thinking about moving to something else, perhaps. But no, this is really, it's a long article, but it's a great read. I've certainly used ask.com or Ask Jeeves.
I was just kind of thinking, wow, this is like a tour of my bookmarks because I had AltaVista, I had Lycos. I was a big Lycos fan. And
right, because it had a dog. Go fetch it right there.
Yes. And then there was Yahoo. I remember my first experience with the internet and actually using a browser on my own was I had a browser called DOSLynx. It was a port of the Unix Lynx browser, but it worked in DOS. And I didn't have a Windows screen reader at the time, so I used DOSLynx. And my first site that I went to was Yahoo. And I just remember browsing through all these categories like entertainment and what's under entertainment. Oh, here's music. And, you know, just going and following the links down various and sundry rabbit holes. So it was kind of interesting to read this article about not only Yahoo, but the search engines like Lycos, AltaVista, and those things before Google happened. And where are they now?
I've told this story once before offline to our friends, but one of the things that I thought was really funny when I worked in computer tech support was one of our techs asked somebody, because they were looking for other search engines like this, and they said, oh, go look it up on Hotbot. But because telephone lines being what telephone lines were, I took a supervisor call from someone who was upset because they were told by a tech to go to hotbod.com instead of hotbot.
Oh, no. And that URL probably existed. Yeah. And maybe still does.
Well, the same way that some people inadvertently typed in HOTMALE.com. These are the fun things that would happen back in the days of Internet Explorer 3.02 and Netscape Navigator. Oh, what a tangled web we leave and weave.
And what, WhiteHouse.com does exist, but not. That's not where you want to go, I believe. I think there's
you are.
No, they got it back. Didn't they get that back? I thought they got that back.
They may have.
Maybe they did. But at one point, that was not the thing you wanted to be doing.
Right.
Coming up after the break, Jamie is going to do some heavy lifting. Ricky is going to actually sit down and say, hello, Galaxy. And I'm going to talk about the wibbly-wobbly world of sound, all that and more here on BBQ.
Hi, Buddy Mays here, bringing you the latest amazing product from Blind Bargains, and it's about time. Yes, that's right, folks, it's really about time. Introducing the Blind Bargains watch. There are lots of watches on the market these days, but you want a watch made especially for you. Do any of those other watches crow like a loud, obnoxious rooster every hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Well, this one does, and you'll never accidentally disable the feature because it can't be turned off. Do any of those other watches make a 200 decibel bonging sound to let people around you know you're checking the time? Well, this one does, and so much more. It vibrates when you get an incoming call. It vibrates when there's a new post on Twitter or Facebook. It vibrates when you get a new email. But that's not all. The Blind Bargains watch has built-in features designed to keep you safe and secure. It vibrates when your heart rate increases. It vibrates when your heart rate decreases. It vibrates when it's safe to cross the street. It even vibrates to let you know it's not safe to cross the street. That's right, folks. This watch does everything. And here to tell us more about it is Richard Wells, a guy who I think was involved in the project somehow.
Hi, my name is Richard Wells, and one time I sat on the bus next to a guy working on the Blind Bargains watch. He said that every day people asked Blind Bargains for a watch that was accessible, functional, and stylish. Instead, the Blind Bargains watch was created. It may not be the watch you want, but it is the watch you deserve. I've never actually seen the watch, but it was created for blind people, so I want one.
That's right, folks. You've heard it here, right here, from the experts. But everybody knows a watch like this is nothing unless it's paired with a powerful phone. Instead of trying to make that tough choice between Apple and Android, we've paired this watch with the amazing Windows Phone. You'll join the millions of you'll join the other people who use this incredible platform. I guarantee you won't regret it. It doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't get more accessible than this, folks. That's right. You'll never have to worry about any sort of improvements or changes because that'll never happen. But I know what you're saying. You're saying, hey, Buddy Maze, I want to know about the battery life on this thing. I want to know how it charges. Okay, you asked, and you'll be amazed at the answer. This watch doesn't need any fancy connections or power outlets or anything. It charges right from the sound of your voice. That's right, folks. As long as you can use your voice, you'll never have a low battery again, ever.
Wait. Stop. Why are you vibrating?
Battery full.
What are you trying to tell me?
Battery full.
I don't even know where I am anymore.
Battery full.
So what are you waiting for? Pre-order this watch today. It's amazing. And you'll have it probably in 2017. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back, everyone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought Jamie was going to do it.
I thought we were holding to the old style.
Let's hold. Yes, go ahead and do that. That makes more sense.
Okay. And then after break two, you can come in on the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Retake. 3, 2. Welcome back, everyone, to Blind Bargains Cast. Cats Cast with a Q. And, you know, one of the things that is really neat about being independent in the 21st century as a blind individual is the ability not to have to rely on your friends to be able to go to the movie theater, to be able to get to the airport, especially the airport, to be able to take Uber or a Lyft from a place to the airport and then home was such a liberating, independent feeling. I just can't even explain how awesome that was to be able to not have to like, hey, you want to go see that movie? Okay, let's go see your movie first. And yeah, I'll pay for it. It is really cool to be able to use things like Uber and Lyft. But wait a minute. I'm getting this in. It's coming into my ear and my headphones. Uber is not a taxi company. They're a big data conglomerate.
That's what I'm wanting. I want to ride around in a vehicle with someone I don't know and give up my data all at the same time.
Yes, please do track everywhere that I have gone. And that way you can like send me coupons. Are you going to the airport again? You might like to go to the shawarma hut in the airport before you go on the plane. And if you take this Uber, you'll get like $5 off or some such. I don't know exactly what they're going to do with this, but honestly, I can't say I'm surprised that
didn't help Foursquare.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that they're collecting this data.
Swarm. Yeah. No, but you know, I really like, sarcasm intended, the social thing that Lyft is going to do, because you know that passengers and drivers are going to want to share profile information for the 5 minutes that they're together. Or maybe 20 in some cases.
Well,
I want to know all about my driver and what his favorite music is. And I want him to know that about me as well.
The crazy, scary thing is that I think it is only meant to go one way, where your driver doesn't have to share their profile with you as the rider in some cases. So there are two things. There is Lyft, and then there's Lyft Line or Lyft something or other, which is actually a ride sharing service, which was what this whole thing was meant to be in the beginning. And with Lyft Line, you share all this information between all the passengers and the driver and all that you're going to be sharing a car with. But They want to do it with just single passengers too, so that your driver can pick you up and go, "Hi, you're from
New York City.
I bet you enjoy the
New York Jets."
And, you know, looking at all this stuff on your profile, that's just creepy.
Yeah.
That is.
It's weird. Starbucks wanted to have that whole conversation with its customers, so they put interesting things on their cups. About a year ago, Chipotle was doing all sorts of poetry and thinking and thoughts and all sorts of strange ways of looking at life on the back of their bags.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Chipotle slogan thingies or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, quotes, memorable quotes, like deep thoughts, Jack Handy. actually, those would have been funnier. And the idea that a brand can do more than what it is or be a part of the social consciousness and maybe even by some respect go viral is part of the idea behind that. But in this case, Lyft wants to be your buddy, your friend, your friendliness rather than Uber, which is seen as weird, strange, I don't know where that guy came from kind of service. They did this last year also. Remember the Spotify playlist? You could actually have Spotify connected and start playing music in the car.
Right. And they encourage their drivers to have bottled water and other stuff in the car. And the one time that I took a Lyft and that was offered to me, I'd been having a great time with the driver and really friendly and all of that. And then, you know, "Would you like a bottle of water while you're riding along here?" And that felt very strange to me too, because it just felt, wow, you're trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just me. Maybe people will like that service. "Hey, nice, you have snacks for me while I'm in your car." But I just kind of felt like, let's just... you're driving me somewhere, we can have a nice conversation, and then you can drop me off and I can go on with my life. That's really all I want.
And what about the first time that is abused, by the way?
Yeah. And there's no doubt that that will happen.
Yeah.
Same way that you're going to run into surge pricing. I hit that in San Diego for the first time, and that blew my mind because I'd never seen that screen before. And it was like, "Hey, you want to wait like 2 minutes? And it could possibly go back down to normal because you're trying to use this at a very high peak volume of requests. So you want to hang out a little bit? I mean, if not, 1.5 will be how much. So it'll be your regular rate plus 1%, you know, half, a little bit more. In the long run, I didn't have very far to go. So I went ahead and did that. And the hotel wasn't all that far away that I was staying at. But I can see how some people get used to a certain amount that they're used to spending, and then all of a sudden they get nailed by surge prices. And certainly we've had stories before about surge hitting at the wrong possible time, like in Australia. There you go again, where they were charging during a calamity. And sometimes those prices go up during bad weather situations. And I can understand that the marketplace will sometimes be able to have that, but... do you feel like you're spending too much? That's what this article says.
And it really focuses not even so much on surge pricing, but just how easy and convenient it is to call for one of these things. And you're like, "Hey, that was way cheap," and all that. And then you look up a couple of months later and realize, "I've spent a whole bunch of money," and it just kind of nickeled and dimed. And like, if you look at the fees, I think it's Uber has a base rate of $4, and then you have a safe ride fee that's another dollar, and then you actually have your mileage and stuff. So if you look at this and kind of break it all down, and if you do this very often, then you might think to yourself, public transportation is probably cheaper, but I'm okay with paying for this convenience. And there's always the argument of, if you had the option of having a car, you would be making its monthly payment, its monthly maintenance,
insurance,
or how often, however often you have to, insurance, gas, and so on. So transportation, regardless of what you do, is going to add up. But there's no doubt that if you could take the bus everywhere or the subway or whatever, it is less expensive than going door to door.
So we have an article here that talks about an app that will help you track what you spend on Lyft and Uber and I think a couple of other services. But it's a strange name, Pitsdats? Am I reading that right?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
That's what I would call
other
an
weird
app.
names without vowels were already taken.
Yeah.
We were going to call it D-R-I-V-R, but somebody else did that.
It's already taken. Oh, man. Well, there are apps out there that can help you find food. There are apps out there that can help you find rides to food. There are apps out there that can actually help you read something while waiting to go get food and the car to pull up and drive. But sometimes those books have nasty words in them. And
golly,
well,
jeepers, they do.
Well, what the fudge?
Wouldn't it be so much better if you could use like a Mad Lib and just replace those words with something that would be more wholesome and fantastic? Enter the marketplace Clean Reader.
Oh, this is such a bad idea. This is yes, it is such a bad idea.
Oh.
Apparently.
I mean, look, if you're reading a Tom Clancy novel and the good old salty general is chewing out his guys, if Tom Clancy chose to throw a few expletives in there, leave him alone.
Yeah, that's very much in character. And that's what I dislike about this. I think that it is very sheltering in a bad way. You don't have to like expletives. You don't have to use expletives yourself. But if you are reading something, I think it should be in the same way that the author intended. And you can't, there's no clean reader for real life. You can't censor people. You can't edit them as they're speaking. So,
no, but it would be
no.
A funny
but you
skit.
Could edit all their television and movies. There used to be actually a service where you could buy the movie Titanic, and it would have like the gunplay scene and the Leonardo getting it on with Kate scene deleted. So you bought the copy of Titanic, but it would just have these particular scenes that were seen as unwholesome removed from the film. And of course, there's also an entire website out there that tracks the television edits of movies like, oh my, very, very favorite Snakes on a Plane.
You mean Mother Fighting Snakes?
That's right, on this Mother Fighting Plane.
Monday to Friday Plane.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I got it wrong. The Pulp Fiction one is also edited in a very convenient way. The Cheech and Chong movies aren't even the same movies anymore. They've actually just gotten new things. What's worse is to have somebody dubbed in that doesn't sound like the actor at all. Even different accents for the character, which sounds very wrong. But there are people who really are looking for this. The Ned Flanders family of the world that does not want to come across these things, but wants to be current with today's media. Something for everybody, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I wonder who will really use this. I mean, is this even something people will actually take advantage of? It's like you either read the stuff or don't read it.
And I feel like it's going to be parents are going to make their kids use it or something like that. Because
painful,
that's sort of how this was created in the first place, where somebody's daughter had been reading a book at school. And I think it was a book for school. So it wasn't just a random fiction book that she had picked up. And, you know, there were swear words in that, and that made me sad. And parents, oh, well, we'll protect you from the bad old swear words by creating this app.
There was a great episode of South Park where the boys had to read Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, yes.
And remember, and Cartman comes in and goes, where's the horrible part? Why was this book even banned? Nothing happens in this book. There's nothing wrong here. And that social mores have moved so far away from what we considered as bad, that the boys were bored reading the book.
Well, you know, you might get bored sometimes trying to type on a touch screen. Now, there's a segue, all you podcasters in training. You just pay attention to that right there.
Wait. Hold on. Uh-huh. Let me crack my knuckles here. Okay. All right. Okay, here we go. Jamie, have you ever had a problem when you're, I don't know, sending a message to somebody and then the thing you're typing is censored, like in a messaging app? Question mark, he asked knowingly as a setup.
Sure, there's a second example of what not to do.
Usually autocorrect types something I really didn't mean to say at all. Usually goes the other way for me.
Yeah, in that case, you kind of do want the censoring thing. Hey, wait, I usually don't type that word. Are you sure you want to send this to your mother?
Mom. Yeah. Exactly.
But with the iBrailler app, you might be able to type a little better or more easily than using that pesky text keyboard on the iPad. And I got to say, this is kind of a neat app. I don't know how often I will use it, especially at the $40 price tag.
Yeah. What an in-app purchase that is.
Yes. Yeah. But you can try it for free. You can see what it's like. You just can't, there's a limit to how much you can type, and you can't do things like share, you know, from the app or copy directly from the app to other things as conveniently. But the neat thing about iBrailler that isn't in some of these other apps is that the calibration can happen sort of on the fly. So if you lose where you are and you're like, am I on dots 4 and 6 or what? Where am I? You can just recalibrate it by placing your fingers on the screen again and it goes, oh, okay, here's where your hands are. So now I know which dots are which.
I don't like, for the best example, to save a note, is the inward pinch gesture. And I get what they were thinking. They didn't want to put a menu on the screen because they wanted all the real estate for typing. And
right.
I get that.
Right.
I think some of the gestures they chose to use are some of them that are the more difficult, like drawing counterclockwise half circles on the screen and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Unless you're working on Android, in which case it's like, oh, hey, yes, these are just fine.
Well, yeah. But you see that too, like what Buddy Brandon has told us about with the Kindle, where you have it's talkback, but it's not completely talkback. Yeah. And last week we heard from Jeff Stark about how there's going to be a screen reader on the Galaxy that isn't completely talkback. And Ricky, you've used Android before. Do you think it's too late in the game for you to learn a new version of talkback or learn a fragmented version of talkback and then keep the stock version in your head?
You know, I am actually kind of torn about this because depending on how well Galaxy has implemented this, my previous reasoning for I want to stick with stock Android and I don't want to do a lot of heavy modifications to it was I need to be able to assist other people with their Android devices. And so I don't want to have a thing that I use all the time and then a thing that most other people use. The thing about the Galaxy, though, is I feel like it is becoming the standard to some degree as far as what phone would I recommend to somebody who wants to use Android. It would be the Galaxy. And so if they've done it well, and if some of these gestures make a little more sense, like with the Kindle Fire, they went back to previous talkback gestures that I had gotten used to that actually seemed a bit more intuitive. And that may be what Samsung has done here too. So I'm not opposed to this sort of emerging standard if they've done it well. But if it's just as confusing as the stock version, but they're like, well, we just kind of wanted different gestures just to be different, I'm not so sure about that.
Well, the crew over at That Android Crew, hey, Jamie, that's a pretty neat name, isn't it?
It is. So,
I like that name. The Android guys over at That Android Crew talked about the Samsung Galaxy S6 and a lot of other particular Android news. So if you're interested in getting another take on Android that didn't come from this podcast or from Ricky right there, you can head on over to Cool Blind Tech and check out their new Android show to get their takes on things. Or, of course, don't forget about Inclusive Android, as you heard from Jeffrey Stark last week. All sorts of information coming fast and furious now that we are at Android 5.1, and we are about a month and a half away from Google I/O.
I'm looking forward to the Blind Bargains BlackBerry cast that is surely going to pop up sooner or later.
Yes, I'm quite sure that could happen. JJ would be all over it.
The four people who use it are also the same four people who record the podcast.
Yeah. Okay, Jeffrey Stark's on that one too, since the Canadian government still uses BlackBerry.
Ah, yes, they do.
But they've actually, BlackBerry, that is, has made a little money in the last couple of quarters. They're actually not dead, folks.
No. Woo-hoo! The RIM Death Watch has been going on forever, except they're not RIM anymore. I can't seem to keep up with the times, but no. I guess since they, with the new CEO letting a bunch of people go and cutting a bunch of stuff, they have streamlined enough that the little money that they are making is turning into a profit, which is kind of interesting.
When you have zero and then you have one, one is a 100% increase over zero.
No, that sounds that's wrong. About that right. So yeah.
Wrong. That is so wrong. No, they are actually doing things with the iOS app and Android. They have some key patents when it comes to security, and they do have some key markets still available, and they've opened up Messenger and the like. So BlackBerry is kind of sort of coming along. They do have the Passport. They came out with a new version of the Passport not too long ago. The accessibility in that suite is a little lacking on all sides, whether it be outside of the BlackBerry ecosystem or within the screen reader universe of the BlackBerry itself. It's a little slow. But, you know, like we were talking about with the PlayStation, it all comes in little bits and steps, and every little step helps, as we see in so many ways.
Coming up after the break, I have a sound idea for extinguishing fires. We're going to talk about wacky, wiggly things, and then Joe's going to get all sentimental right here on the Blind Bargains Cast.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. Si sospechas que es veneno, entonces llámanos. Marca 1-800-222-1222.
Para urgencias por envenenamiento o preguntas, el Poison Control Center puede ayudarte noche y día.
Si sospechas que es veneno, entonces llámanos. Marca 1-800-222-1222.
Welcome back to Blind Bargains Cast.
Look.
Wow. Talk about.
Wow. It's good to see you. You smell awful. You smell like outside.
My ears. That's the best. That's the best.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Been eating bugs, I'll bet.
You definitely need a good
wet fur.
Yeah. Brushing. Where have you been? I'm going to call a blind educator.
Yeah, Louise will take care of you. Yep. Hey, look, there's something between the paws.
Oh, let's see. Oh, it's something from, let's see, J.J. Meadow, that guy that used to talk about Android a lot. Cool.
Hey, guys, it's J.J., you know, the other host of the show. It's my week off, but just wanted to send in the B-Report. The longtime listener, first-time caller. And I was a little confused. I wasn't sure exactly what was going on, but it seems like you guys had things under control. I thought we were recording the episode on Monday, but I see that you guys have already finished the episode for this week. So I guess thank you for taking the initiative to just get this week's show ready to go by Wednesday, the 1st of April. So thank you guys. Really do appreciate that. I want to help you out. Remember the name. I'm not sure if you guys remember. We're supposed to be the cast, BBQ, Blind Bargains Cast with a Q. I know we just adopted that name about a week ago, so you might have forgotten, so that's okay. I just want to let you know that it's supposed to be the name of the show, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. And we have that document in our Dropbox that details the format that we're supposed to be using for our show with the news and the interviews and things like that. You guys might have gone a little bit off format this week. A little confused. I just was listening to some of the recordings from the show, and I'm not sure it's exactly what we were supposed to be doing. But, you know, it's okay. We can work with it. It's still a new show, and that's not a big deal. I just wanted to give my feedback and my B-report for the show. But thanks, guys. Ricky and Jamie and Joe, thanks. Keep up the great work, and I'll keep listening.
April Fools, everyone. How? Yep. Yeah. So We had decided a long time ago that we thought it'd be really cool to kind of refresh things and see where things were a couple of weeks down the road. And then we all wondered if we could do this again. And when they announced Buzz Out Loud's 10th anniversary, Ricky, Jame, and I kind of sort of went, you know, 10, episode 10, let's just do this for April Fools.
There you go. Seems like a nice idea. And the fact that with BBQ, which I love the name, since there are rotating hosts anyway, it was just a nice opportunity to come in and do this and have a little fun and do a real show for sure, but just have a particular lineup that was kind of neat to come back and do that.
Hard to fit back into the old style. Jamie, you and I have worked together on a couple of shows already. But this is the first time the three of us have sat down in front of microphones in this kind of venue in a while. And some of it was second nature. Some of it was relearning everything, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, okay, it's like riding a bike. You never forget how, but you do fall off a couple times.
Exactly. I think it's exactly like riding a bike, because you don't just jump on the bike and zoom off into the sunset when you do that again. There's a little bit of, let's see, this goes this way, right?
And I went out of the way to make the show like it was in the past, but I'm so used to doing the new show and the new style and the new format that I honestly forgot a little bit how we used to produce the old show. And so I gave it to Ricky, and Jamie went, does this even look familiar anymore? I don't know, because we've changed it up and have responded to what so many people have asked us about, and you know, what is this and what is that? And hey, I'd love to hear this. Over 200 of you commented on our reader survey, which was just amazing. So we wanted to still hold the spirit of what we used to do, but also keep it to the new style like Ricky was talking about. And that's really because of you, the listener, asking us to do so. So we hope that you really like this and got a little bit of a giggle from what we used to do. That's not what we're going back to. BBQ is BBQ, and it will continue to be BBQ. And we appreciate Jay for letting us have the opportunity to have some fun on April Fools.
So I guess we've got one more thing to do.
What would that be, sir?
It's time now for... So this is an interesting story. Engineering students are extinguishing fires with sound waves. I looked for a link, and I didn't find a video of this thing happening. I want to know what it sounds like.
Yeah, me too. Or if that is even audible. I guess I think it's
only
in the subwoofer
dogs and mail bags
range.
Would be able to hear it.
30 hertz is, I believe, what they are using.
Wow. Yeah. So this is supposed to work, and it's like this huge contraption right now. So I don't think that it's small enough to be handheld and can't be installed anywhere yet. But what they're doing is using these sound waves to actually displace the oxygen. So that will smother the fire in theory, because oxygen feeds it. And if you're displacing that, then it's like, okay, I have no more fuel. The issue, of course, is that it doesn't do anything to cool things down like water does. So you're addressing, you know, a portion of what's going to keep a fire going, but it remains to be seen how well this is going to work practically. There's a fire department that actually wants to test this in one of these structural fire test thingies that fire departments do. So
what you're saying is you need
cold
fire.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. Music reference. Death Ray reference.
This past summer, my wife and I went to the fair with some friends, and we know a firefighter that was there, exactly a fire chief, and they were demonstrating a fire extinguisher and the importance of them and fire alarms and that. So they had a structure built that they set on fire, and we were not too far away from it, and I believe, I think it was 2,000 degrees is the peak that heat got to, and
wow.
I mean, just the distance we were, the intense heat that, you know, hits your face. It's like, wow.
That these guys deal with every day.
Yeah.
What did it sound like, Jamie? Did the fire have an actual big roaring sound from where you were?
A little bit. It wasn't a lot because it wasn't a very big building. For some reason, they were having trouble actually getting it to burn on the demonstration day. So they were struggling with
that. Wow. Oh, no.
They did their jobs a little too well, I guess. Yeah. But I would love to hear the roar of a fire without actually being in it. I mean, obviously, you listen to TV.
Yes,
and
very much
audio,
so.
But yeah.
Well, wow. You could play that whole level in Papa Sangre 2 with the cat. Meow.
Papa Sangre. Meow.
Yeah.
It's done the wrong cat. Follow the right cat, Jamie. Meow. There's fire going all around that you. Is. Oh, that might be a spoiler for some people. Anyway, you run through a burning building. In Papa's
I need
Angry
to. I bought that app and never played the game, which is really weird, but I need to download. Well, for one thing, I was using my 4S and I knew it probably wasn't going to be as good an experience. So
I just
stopped playing Audio Defense. I had to make myself stop playing Audio Defense. That's also really good. We're going to actually talk a lot about gaming in the month of April. So make sure you stay tuned to Blind Bargains because we're going to talk to Liam about the PS4 and some other things. So I'm looking very forward to talking about gaming. And then I think Jamie has already challenged me to some thing in Lost City, so I imagine that's going to be a thing I'll get stuck into at some point.
That's a fun game. Yes, I kind of jokingly on Twitter tried to bait Liam Irvin into maybe talking to us about porting Super Egg Hunt Plus to the
that.
Mac. I really don't think that's going to happen, but that would be pretty cool. It's funny, you put
it.
That
yes.
game away for 6 months and pick it back up, and it's just as addictive as it was.
Yes, it is. It's an amazingly addictive game. And the thing about it is it's so simple, at least on the surface, but that very simplicity just kind of sucks you in and you're like, oh, how many can I catch? Oh, there's some over this way and there's some over that
Perfect
way.
And, for and it's egg hunts.
Given that it is the month of April and egg hunts and things, yes, I will be taking Super Egg
Hunt. You know what's also addictive is cereal. And eating cereal for dinner, maybe, or cereal as you're just walking by and look, that box is open and I have to find the prize inside, or maybe play the record that's on the back of the box. And I am guilty of this one. That was super cool to be able to find a record on the back of breakfast cereal as a young man and then try and find a record player that would let you play the edges because you didn't want to bend the edges, but you had to be able to play a rectangle kind of thing on your record player.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun. So if you had a really long arm on your turntable, you could do this. But there were all sorts of flexi discs before we sort of saw them as flexible discs in NLS situations.
Yes, I remember getting the Christian Record Services flexible discs every month. And other magazines came from NLS. I never got the flexible discs from cereal boxes. Did you,
Jamie? I was trying to think. It seems like I did at one point, but I don't remember what cereal. It wouldn't have been very many, but I do remember getting, and I think it was a Braille edition of the National Geographic magazine, and I got that flexible disc of the whale sounds that is mentioned in this article.
Sweet.
So I actually...
Oh, that's cool.
That of course, don't have it anymore and don't have the record player to play it on if I did, but...
I used to get Sports Illustrated in flexi disc, and it would say on it, you know, do not fold, but at the same time it said... treat like newspaper, which meant that they folded it like a newspaper and jammed it into into the inbox of my house, being that the mailbox outside of the house. And, you know, I would always have to get like the big large print dictionaries to flatten my Sports Illustrated before I could listen to them.
So you could play it.
I read Lonesome Dove on flexible disc and I forget how many it was, but it was a bunch.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Oof. Yeah, because there's only a certain amount that you could fit on there. And because of the kind of crazy nature of it, they
RPMs.
Weren't intended to last very long.
Well, and that was it. Because if you mushed them or if you made a mistake and you kind of put your fingernail on it wrong, you could eat a chapter. It was weird. I mean, I had one or two books that were at 8 RPM. Oh my gosh, the sound quality was terrible. But yeah, there were all sorts of weird things on FlexiDisc. So alphabets, I didn't have the Archie's one that's mentioned here in the article. By the way, all these articles are available at blindbargains.com in our audio section in our show notes. And you can also find that within the Blind Bargains app for both iOS and Android. And the way we design these shows, just if you're ever curious, you can actually hit pause, read the article, and then come back in and hear our commentary on these things. And all the shows are designed that way. So that way you can actually follow along at home and play with this. If you have comments about the, well, flexible discs you might have encountered in your life, be sure to let us know at feedback@blindbargains.com or drop that comment right there in the comment window on this very page where the podcast resides. Now, with that said, cereal might necessarily not give you superpowers, but wouldn't it be really cool, guys, to be able to, I don't know, need a superpower for a very, very limited amount of time, and so I'd take an eardrop or an eye drop, and then all of a sudden have a power you didn't have, like, say, night vision?
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Got 9 lives, cat's eyes. But only for a little bit. This is a trip. I actually love the phrase biohackers. So a set of biohackers came up with this idea of using this eye drop, and it describes this chemical in the article, and it doesn't last forever by any means, but you could take this eye drop and actually be able to see in the dark for a bit. Don't try this at home.
Yes,
no, you know, I don't like what
you just don't want to be putting random thingies in your eyes and like, let's see what this does.
Yes, that,
but
welcome over to Blind Bargains where you can, no, I'm sorry. that just
we seems, like new listeners, but not necessarily, yeah,
that's
that way.
Not the way to grow an audience. I don't like wetware. I've never liked wetware, and I don't like the term biohacking, and I've never liked it in cyberpunk.
I love it.
Ew, gross. No. Ew, really? Genetically?
Kind of that?
Or do you just want
cool.
the temporary thing? You just want the ability to...
No, just temporary. Okay. Like, I don't want to be...
Spliced with a cat.
I could implant a magnet in my finger and, like, sense magnetic field forever or whatever. I don't see a need to do that. But to just have a temporary experience of something, and the fact that there are people who are kind of pioneering this stuff. You never know where it's going to go. I like the idea that they're pushing the envelope in this way and people are willing to say, what does this do? So yeah, I think it's very cool.
Jamie?
Yes.
The gentleman who came up with a lot of Bluetooth technology and RFID and the like, there's a professor in Oxford who implanted a chip in his arm almost 10 years ago, if I remember correctly. And the door would open for him when he walked up. It was truly biogenetics. And he actually talked his wife somehow, this is a really good relationship, I guess, into implanting a chip into her arm. And so he could actually neural connect and move her hand through the Wi-Fi and the like. Again,
how did that conversation go over a glass of wine?
Yeah, I honey, I have this idea. Here's this white paper. Get back to me. I'm just not sure that I'm into something like this. I think I'm more into the idea of what we have here as our final article: colorblind people being able to see colors for the first time through various types of glasses and the like, which I think is really fascinating. That gets into the temporary idea that Ricky was talking about just a moment ago, where you have that ability to kind of remove it and go back to normal. What do you think? Would you want something more permanent? Would you want something temporary? Or would you even want to modify yourself in one way or another?
I would be okay with modifying myself, perhaps, but definitely on a temporary basis. I played with a game, and of course, now it escapes me. It distorted sound.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And you were supposed to be able to, like, collect goals. Blind drummer Darren Duff actually did a podcast on it. The idea was to wear earbuds or earphones around all day long. So, like, if you heard sounds, words would be repeated in your head, and you hear elongated, you know, lower pitched recreations of that sound. And I thought, that's kind of cool. That's kind of neat. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it much at all. And I didn't play with it for very long. It was kind of freaky to me. Say I would like this. Maybe I wouldn't as much as I think I would. Just perhaps some GPS, you know, navigational assistance, that sort of thing, I might be okay with. But if you start messing with me too much, probably not.
Could be a problem.
Yeah.
I would be okay with it if it's just you know, in an enclosed space and you're in a very situational moment where, okay, I can control this, or I know where I am, or I'm tethered, versus go about your daily life, you know, kind of with the way Google Ingress does, where it kind of does an augmented reality game where it plays with real life things around you. Kind of what Papa Sangre wanted to do years ago, but they never did, about being in a field and being able to interact mm-hmm. with people in a actual physical field and walk around and stuff. But that has dangers because not everybody is going to be able to hear around them. And you want to do something right. that's more, well, more akin to giving you the ability to have bone conduction rather than something in your ears. Like I talked about a couple of weeks ago at CSUN, I love the idea of Google Glass and someone helping until I had them in my ear all the time. And then I was losing sound cues. And I thought, maybe I just want this on a speaker or something. Because I don't want to give up the sound around me. I don't know. I love the idea of this in a gaming aspect, you know, an immersion type situation. But outside of that, I'm not sure that I want to cross the streams. Interesting.
So what's up with advertisements on TV for Game of Fire? Game of War? I forget the actual name of the...
Oh, man. Seeing that everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I used to see that in Trivia Crack, mm-hmm. too, before I bought the ad-free version.
And banish the ads away. That.
Yes.
You know,
your empire is what people will remember you by, or whatever it is.
Game years and years ago, it was way ahead of its time, and it was a game that would actually tell you a mystery, and you would hook your email up to it and your phone number to it, and it would actually call you and give you clues and would tell you all these things about it, and it would immerse you in this augmented reality for all intents and purposes. And it would send you clues and you had to go to a message board to read that day's clue to learn about what the mystery was. And it failed miserably, unfortunately. Yeah. It was actually a subscription-based service. You had to pay for it each month in order to get the next month's mystery. And people didn't stay with it. But I love that concept. I love the idea of augmented reality more than physically augmentation to...
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Another game. Go figure. Well, tell us about your favorite games, audio games or otherwise, available right there in feedback@blindbargains.com. Drop them again in the comment section. Talk to us on Twitter @blindbargains. That's twitter.com/blindbargains, all one word. Be sure to rate us on the iTunes store. If you listen to us in iTunes, we appreciate that. By rating our podcast, you're actually also helping out other podcasts like those we mentioned today. Randy Resnick has a new podcast, or really the old podcast just renamed to A11Y Devices. So he gets a bump out of you rating us and him, and that allows other people like Blind Cool Tech or Cool Blind Tech. Look what I did.
Yeah, good job.
Cool Blind Tech and others to be able to get recognized, especially like those over at Apple Vis. Hey, Jamie, you are just like a media titan writing for Access World on iOS games and also Apple Vis. But where else can people find you?
They could go to my website, jamiepauls.com, and if they do, they will discover that I haven't been blogging like I promised for a while, so I probably need to do something. But I somehow kind of knew that was going to happen on January 1st when I said it wasn't going to happen anymore.
Yeah, me
but,
too.
But no, I'll put something else up there. Certainly, twitter.com/JamiePauls is a good place. JamiePauls. And I am trying to do a little bit more interesting tweeting rather than just bragging about winning games. I'm actually trying to do things of more substance. So go ahead and follow me there as well.
Yeah, and check out those articles because they are really good, definitely over at Access World. Ricky, I know where you live on Twitter and elsewhere, but where can people find you?
I'm fairly quiet lately, but I do occasionally emerge from the woodwork and put down the iPhone and stop playing games for a bit. And when I do that, I can be found on Twitter, twitter.com/Ricky, R-I-C-K-Y _ Enger, E-N-G-E-R. You can also find me on Facebook, though I'm fairly quiet there, facebook.com/RickyEnger with no _, and haven't posted an audio boom or anything like that in quite some time. So look for me on social media, and when I emerge, I will attempt to post some interesting things.
And you can hear both these wonderful people on our very show every so often as we rotate in and out guests. We have a new guest coming up next week, so we hope you stay tuned for that. And we also have some content coming, as you heard, about French fries and also Jay's tour of IBTC and some other content that we have lying around. And if this is your first time finding our podcast, please go back to our archives available in the audio section of blindbargains.com. Be sure to catch, we've mentioned Liam a couple of times, roll on back to the Comcast episode where we demonstrated the Comcast DVR, which was fascinating. Shelley Brisbane talks about publishing in a great episode. And then we talked about sound with Lisa Salinger. Ah, Lisa, you heard her voice also on this podcast, as well as Richard Wells and Buddy Brannon, who we also are good friends with, and follow them on Twitter as well. For everyone here, I appreciate you listening. Wait. Doesn't feel right, Jamie.
Until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.